Good morning. Good to see so many of you today. Today I brought the most special thing I could bring today. It's the truest treasure of the whole church. That's every believer of all time in this world. What do you think could be the truest treasure of the whole church? Any guesses? Do you think I have a whole lot of treasure, a lot of money in here, a lot of gold coins or pearls or gems? Good guess. I don't. There's a hand raised over here. Did you want to say something, Austin? Okay.
God.
God is the truest treasure of the church. That's a really good guess. And in a way, you're not wrong. Because we certainly have God in our hearts and we hold Him close. I was thinking of something slightly different, although it is where God meets us. Yes, Nolan, that's right. Inside, what I have is the truest treasure of the whole church. And it's not this Bible, but it's the Bible. Any Bible that you have that's faithful to the original Hebrew and Greek, the languages the Bible were written in. Originally. So here I have the Holy Bible before us today. It's something that Jesus blessed because those who hear it and keep it are blessed. We're going to hear that in our gospel today. That even more blessed than his mother, there's a woman in the crowd who said, "Blessed is your mother. She nursed you. She took care of you." Jesus said, even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And I really like that word keep, because the word in the Greek can actually mean to guard, to protect, like a soldier or like a security officer at the front of a building. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and who keep it, who might guard it and keep it close. What do you think about that? Does that sound like a good way to treat God's word? How do we keep it close, like a treasure chest in our hearts? How do we do that? Any guesses? How can we hear the word of God and keep it so that we might receive this blessing from Jesus? Ivy? What's that? That's right. We can hold it close in our hearts. How would we do that, do you think? Did some of you just... Oh, go ahead, Jackson. Okay. You might be able to open this Bible. Some of you who can read, you could open and look inside the Bible, and then you might be able to read it to yourself and hear it and keep it. Is that a pretty good idea? Maybe some of you have Bible picture books at home. Does anyone have a Bible picture book or something that your parents read to you sometimes or that you get a chance to open up and look at? My little baby has little pop-up books, the fun little books that we can already teach Jesus to him from. It's pretty great. Yeah, baby Theo, that's right. He knows about a lot of these things already, even in a small way. He hears it, and he'll keep that forever, I'm sure. Yes, young man, did you have a way to keep it close? What's your way?
Read it.
Yes, absolutely. We want to read it. Otherwise, we won't be able to hear it in our hearts. And if it's not read to us, we get a chance to go and look at it and read it. Rosie. That's right. You can actually memorize Bible passages. Have some of you learned some Bible passages, maybe in your Sunday school? Some special passages. Do any of you have any special passages that you've learned before that you'd like to say? Katie? A special Bible passage? Anything come to mind? Okay, you're thinking of it. Do you want to say it? All right, you don't have to. That's all right. Anyone? Maybe one like this. For God so...
loved the world that he gave his one and only son.
Very good. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. Isn't that really great? That's a really good passage to memorize. And guess what? If you memorize passages like that, who can take them away from you? You think God would take that away from you?
No.
I mean, it's true. God, I guess, could take it away from you. But who else could take it away from you? It's kind of a trick question. No one. Someone could steal this Bible out of my actual physical treasure chest and it would be gone forever because they might take it to who knows where. Maybe into the city of Indianapolis and California, and I probably wouldn't even be too mad. But no one can ever take away what I know from the Bible in here. Isn't that pretty cool? Guess what? You hear it, you keep it in this treasure box, and Jesus has great, great blessings for you. So that's what we hear today, and we're going to learn a lot about it during the sermon. Hopefully you'll be able to have a chance and take some notes and think about what's going on in the sermon as well, and as we sing our songs today. All right, why don't we fold our hands and say a prayer back to Jesus. Jesus, thank you for preserving your word, for keeping it so that we could hear it and keep it in our hearts. Bless our hearts and our minds so that we can always focus on you in church and so that we can always live for you from the words we hear in the Bible. In your name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, a word from Luke chapter 11. While he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." As the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It is seeking a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But look, one greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But look, one greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a hidden place or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, see to it that the light that is in you is not darkness. So if your whole body is full of light, without any dark part, it will be completely full of light, as when a lamp shines on you with bright light." The Word of God. Brothers and sisters, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, was Jesus' mother a goddess? Was she divine? Did she come with some kind of special skill or ability or perfection so that she could raise Jesus just right so he would do all of these fantastic, wonderful, beautiful things? Jesus had just finished talking in Luke chapter 11 about the kingdom of the devil. People had accused him for his miracle of casting out a demon, then maybe he was a demon too. And Jesus said, no, that doesn't make sense, because a kingdom divided among itself cannot stand. And my kingdom is different. My kingdom comes with blessing. And so Jesus responds to this woman, "Even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." If that's the way that you get into Jesus' kingdom and out of the kingdom of the devil and out of the kingdom of demons, if it's simply by hearing the word of God and keeping it, that's a blessing that I want for my family And it's a blessing I'm sure you want for yours. Because all it takes is ears, it takes a heart, it takes some kind of communication of the Word of God. If not reading it, if not hearing it, then seeing it explained somehow. And from that message of the Word, you have this blessing from Jesus. A blessing that goes a long, long way. It goes so far. Because it goes to believers before Jesus' time. And it goes to sinners who keep His Word. And as Jesus preached to sinners in His time, they had these continued demands for a sign. Jesus would heal the sick. It wasn't enough for them. They weren't convinced. Jesus would cast out a demon. It wasn't enough. They weren't convinced. They wanted Jesus to cater to their imagined idea of what His miracles ought to be, and then they might possibly believe. It was more on their terms, if they wanted to believe, than on God's terms. And that's why what you often end up with in Jesus' preaching and teaching is people who didn't believe. They wouldn't put their trust in Him because this wasn't the kind of Messiah that they imagined Jesus to be. And of course, Jesus couldn't simply cater to their needs. He had to solve the problem of sin. And so He called them wicked. His own generation, the people who had flocked to come and see Him, He used that term evil. He calls them wicked. He makes a point of telling them they're sinful. The people who walked and talked with Jesus Himself, with God Himself. And when they come, He calls them wicked and evil. They reject the blessedness of hearing and keeping God's Word, and Jesus wouldn't call them evil otherwise, because there's something pretty powerful packed in that blessing of God's Word. So what does Jesus do? Does He get out the fog machines? Does He get out the light shows? Does He get out the next gimmick? Does He get out the next thing so that maybe He'll convince them with the signs that they're looking for? He does what we might think is totally countercultural, totally foolish. He goes back in time, in history, and talks to them about believers of old, making the point that this blessing goes long before these people have ever been on the scene, the people of His generation, 2 feet away from Him. He talks about the Queen of Sheba, which might not be the first person who comes to mind, but she came to Jesus' mind because she came to King Solomon 900 some years before Jesus' time. King Solomon was known for his wisdom. He was renowned for his wisdom. He put together books filled with proverbs that we still have today. He wrote songs of love. He wrote about what it's like at the end of life when you've gone through workaholism, when you've gone through greed, when you've gone through pleasure, what life is really like, what you really ought to look forward to. So, of course, people came from different places to hear his wisdom. Because ultimately, and you can see this in the book of Proverbs, he pointed to the Messiah to come. He pointed to the one Redeemer who would cover over all of sin. And because of that, Jesus says, the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, when she heard those things, she went away blessed. So blessed that at the end of time, she's going to stand there alongside the people of his generation. He said this also about the Ninevites. Now, if you know about the time of Jonah, if you know why Jonah ran away when God called him initially, it's because these Assyrians were pretty cruel people. They invented some pretty terrible, awful punishments, maybe some of the worst ever. And when Jonah preached the word to them, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed, they responded. They heard that word. They knew the Messiah that Jonah must have preached to them packaged under that theme. And they repented of their sins. Everyone in Nineveh did. And because of that, Jesus says they're going to stand at the end of time alongside the Queen of Sheba and all believers with these blessings that go back so far. And they're going to say to this generation, wait, you got to stand 2 feet away from the Messiah as he taught to you. You were healed by him. He cast demons out of you. And you didn't believe. You didn't hear that word and keep it close and guard it with your life. That's the kind of judgment that Jesus proclaims here, which is ultimately and righteously the judgment of the Son of God. that all people will, at the end of time, have to own up for all things that we do. And yet, when you hear the word of God and keep it, you keep it here, you keep it close, you observe it with your life. If you live your life by it, you put your faith in it, then you have something much greater than having to answer for those deeds. You have all of the good deeds of Jesus Christ, all of his perfect preaching, all of his almighty power behind you, all of his presence, all of his love, and all that he suffered on behalf of us before his very Father on the cross, so that you and I can say these blessings go a long way. And I have to ask you, based on this, I have to ask you, do you hear it and do you keep it? Are you like the Queen of Sheba? Are you like the Ninevites? Very wicked people, probably people wrapped up in all kinds of other terrible things and yet who heard the word and kept it. Or are you like the generation that had Jesus right next to them and refused to hear and keep it? What do you think? When you're doing your daily routine, when you're cleaning the floors, or when you're washing your dishes, are you also keeping the word of God throughout your daily life? Are you finding chances to hear it and keep it? Maybe think about a Bible passage, or meditate over the sermon, or click in online to maybe one of our websites and see, you know, what God has to say to you today. Maybe a book, remember those? Maybe open a book, yeah, and hear it and keep that word. Or are the daily grind things of life getting weighing you down, causing you, keeping you from hearing and keeping God's word? Or now that school has started, is it just rough? Is it just so busy that you don't have time for God, kids? Is it just something that keeps you from hearing and keeping God's word? Or are you remembering to take a moment with your Savior and think about his promises and pray to him? Maybe it's your Bible passage from your Sunday school, kids. And maybe it's a chance for you to just say, help me, God. Today's going to be challenging. Or, I love you, God. Today's been great. I have all kinds of friends. Or, be near me, God. I'm feeling pretty lonely today. That's hearing it, and that's keeping it. Think about that for yourself. Are you hearing it and keeping it? Because that is the only thing that really makes a believer out of us. It's hearing God's word. Because along with that word is the same finger of God that performs miracles. It's the Holy Spirit who is inseparable with his words and promises, so that you can go throughout your day hearing it and keeping it. And that's true about the sinners who keep his word in Jesus' analogy here about the light. They really needed no sign, to be frank. No one ever really needed to see a miracle to trust in Jesus' words, especially when Jesus was there. They had Jesus right in front of them. And one thing Jesus decided to point that out is by saying how he himself was like the light of a lamp. So if you have a lit lamp and you cover your eyes, whose fault is it if you don't see it? If the lamp is burning, there are no excuses for not being able to see by that light. Jesus gives us a lesson that's not really physiology or anatomy about the eyes. It's kind of like our saying, the eyes are the window to the soul. But the matter of fact is, if you see the works of Jesus, and you can take them in, they can fill your body in the sense that you can live by them. You can love what Jesus has done for you on the cross. You can love the sacrifice he made for you. You can trust in that substitute for your sins. And you can rely on his perfection as you consider your standing before God the Father. And so in that way, Jesus is like a lamp. Now tell me, is it the sun's fault if it rises on a day and you decide to go back in the house and sit in a dark room in the basement? That wouldn't be the sun's fault, would it? If you decided to go into a walk-in freezer and die that day, that's a terrible thing. But you couldn't blame the sun that did its daily duty and rose so that you can see and have warmth, could you? And so in the same way, If we have the Son of God, if He has shown His Word on our lives, if we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good and what the Lord has done, we certainly can't point the finger at God and blame Him that we didn't hear His Word and keep it. But here's the good news, is that Son goes a long way. And you can hide from the sun in the sky and still hold to the Son of God because you have God's Word. And it's there before us better than ever. It's online. It's in your hands more than ever. In past generations, they didn't have that gift to be able to hear the Word of God at will, to be able to keep it close. Sometimes maybe to focus on a passage and memorize it because it speaks to you and it has something to say about your sinful status. God's blessing, Jesus' blessing on that day went a long way, not just retroactively saving those who trusted in the Messiah to come, but proactively for you and me who might look back at the Savior for what He's done. Brothers and sisters, treasure that blessing. Hold that in the treasure chest of your heart so tight. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, because you look around yourself and you see turbulent times. And you see problems and you see a lot of words that don't make sense and that don't fit together. You see a world that wields moral standards that they don't abide by. You see a world that has threat and anger and frustration and all kinds of deceitful lies about who God is and what He is in our lives. But in here, in the treasure of your heart, from the word that God has spoken to you, you have one who speaks to your soul, who loves you and who's gone to death for you so that you might have eternal life. That's right. These blessings don't just stop in ancient times, in Jesus' present day, or in our current age. They go on forever. The blessings of hearing and keeping God's word go beyond judgment day. It's the first day of the rest of our lives into our heavenly reward. Thanks to Jesus, whose blessings go a long way. Amen.